The message for us this week comes from God through the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, particularly verses 29 through 35. It's a message of witness testimony that brings us hope and fills our joy as John shows and gives us the encouragement found in the reality that we cannot by our own strength believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him, but that the Holy Spirit has called us according to the gospel. This message is clear as we read and hear the witness of John regarding Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May the way in which it is expounded and received this morning bring glory to your name and love to your people, so that our joy may be made full. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning again and welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church. You have made it to worship this morning, and for most of you it might have been a fairly regular Sunday routine. You might not even be aware of it anymore, but you have actually made it here this morning based on a fair few facts. At the very least, you knew where we were gathering this morning for worship, and you also knew when we were gathering here for worship this morning. Furthermore, you may have acquired this knowledge through a few various means, a couple of different ways. Some might have known this because of experience. You are so used to it, you were brought up in the church, you've been here for so long that it's almost a life rhythm, if you like. You know what time it is and you don't have to consciously think about it. You get up in the morning and you get in the car and you come here and worship. Some here this morning might be here because of an invite. Someone might have invited you to church this morning because you are out of town or because they think that you might actually need it. Some again might have actually gotten this knowledge or know how or when and where to worship with us this morning because of an inquiry. You might have picked up the phone and rung the office. You might have looked it up on the website, or you might have driven past and saw it on our notice board at the front. The point is that there's a huge range of means that you could have come upon to get the knowledge to be here this morning. There's no shortage of information to stop you from being here. In fact, there's no shortage of information in the world we live in currently, is there? This should come as no surprise, however, since we live in the information age. Information is everywhere, but not all information is helpful information, is it? You have received very helpful information if it led you to church this morning. In fact, I would say maybe even selfless information. Someone might have known that you needed to be here this morning to be encouraged in various different ways, or that you simply needed to be somewhere where you can receive. Someone might have invited you without getting anything out of it whatsoever. That is a wonderful reason. That is good information given. But that's not what most of the information is that we receive on a daily basis. Not most of the information we receive is selfless, is it? That can hardly be said for advertising, for instance. Anyway, to give you an idea of the magnitude of this information-rich time that we live in, environment we live in, let me just share a couple of recent publicized statistics. When taking media, that is just thinking about the news, newspapers, newspaper articles, magazines, for instance, well, you know now on TV, even if you watch on the bottom, it's got this continuous scroll of information coming, news within news even. Just regarding that, the statistic tells us you receive approximately 285 new pieces of information every day. That is 285 pieces of information you didn't have before that you have to process. Now, if you're more of a television person, more of a video person, more of a YouTube person maybe, then online video or via television estimate that we receive about 440 minutes of new information every day. Now this equates roughly to about 1.5 working days worth of processing. 1.5 days just to process new information every week. That seems incredible. It seems like such a waste of time and energy, yet we do it. Why is that? Well, the world tells us it's because we live in a world where information gives us knowledge, and knowledge, as we've all heard it, I'm sure, equals power. Knowledge for what? Power for what? Let me approach that with one more question, and we address this question, which is, well, what makes us feel the most powerless? Psychosocial research would tell us that at the most basic level, we feel the most powerless when we have the most limited control and limited choices, especially regarding relationships and joy for our future. We feel the most powerless when we have limited control and limited choices, especially regarding relationships and joy for our future. Therefore, it would seem that we seek knowledge to be informed so that we can have more, or at least be in better control, as we broaden our range of choices, or at least try to make more informed choices, especially, therefore, to have the most advantageous future. What is the most advantageous future, you ask? It is one that brings joy and companionship. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting these, by the way. We were made for relationship, and the Apostle Paul talks about joy almost more than anything else in all his writings. The issue is not wanting those things, but are we really going about it the right way? Is all this energy and time spent on the acquisition of information, of knowledge, worth it? Furthermore, how do we as Christians approach this notion that knowledge equals power? This notion that knowing is everything, because knowing how can assist us providing our own guilt-free, relationship-rich, self-improved, therefore self-approved future. It's to this point that it's very interesting to hear what the Apostle John has to say to us this morning in our reading. So just after John, the one baptizing, makes a confession regarding Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In verse 31, he makes the statement, "I myself did not know him." Again in verse 33, John exclaims, "I myself did not know him." These two statements are interesting, especially the context they find themselves. If I can paint a picture for a moment, just before this reading, what we have is the Pharisees sent a couple of people to go to John to check out what he was doing because John was baptizing. So they go to John and they ask him, "Why are you baptizing?" Now his answer is interesting because he doesn't straight away just tell him why he's baptizing, but he says, "Well, I might be baptizing with water, but you guys have someone among you who you do not even know," speaking of Jesus. "Someone who's so worthy that I can't even want to imagine to untie his dirty sandals." The next day, John is there again, baptizing again. And when he saw Jesus coming towards him, then he makes the confession declaration that this man walking towards him, this Jesus of Nazareth, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John recognizes who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and makes it clear that it is not because of knowing him. It is not because he came to that conclusion because of some human understanding. How's that possible? John tells us. The word tells us that he who sent John, God the Father, told John that he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And John saw this when he was with Jesus baptizing him and makes the incredible connection for us that he on whom the Spirit is sent and remain is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that this has nothing to do with a knowledge or a knowing that he's come by, that he figured out. It's not come from a human understanding. John did not have to figure this out. He didn't have to make clever deductions because of some information that got left behind or given to him. He didn't have to reason his way towards this belief. Rather, he wasn't encouraged towards it or anything like that, but instead John tells us that God showed him. It was revealed to him, to John, the one who didn't come to know this by human understanding. And not only was it revealed to John without him having to figure it out, but John tells us that the whole purpose of baptizing with water is so that the one who is, was and is and is to come, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, would be revealed to Israel. He would be revealed to his people. So it was not from human understanding, which was achieved through the gathering of an overload of information, but God's revelation, which brings John's confession. Revealed how? Verse 35 onwards we read. Jesus was revealed to John as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come, and is confessed by John, who testifies that he witnessed this, and upon his testimony, upon his word, two disciples follow Jesus. In the same way, it is true for us today. In the same way, the word of God comes to us today with a testimony of those who witnessed Jesus for who he was, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Knowledge towards a human grasp or understanding cannot deliver the promise it seems to make. Regarding this, the Apostle Paul says, regarding knowledge equals power notion, the Apostle Paul makes a point. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and then the Greek, us. The answer to our worries regarding our choices and relationships and joy for our future is not in becoming all-knowing in the pursuit of empowering ourselves to look after ourselves. After all, that pursuit didn't work out so well for Adam and Eve, did it? Rather, the power to have and receive that for which we long for most, as the Apostle Paul says, is found in the gospel. The good news, which is the testimony that Jesus, the Son of God, has come to us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our sin. The very sin that has cut us off from true joy and a hopeful future. That we worry about so much, the joy and the hope for the future that can only be found in God. And so the good news comes to us this morning in God's word by the testimony of the apostles that the Jesus they witnessed about, the Jesus that went to the cross, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away our sin. And through this and in him will make our joy full from this life and into the next. Those who did not know, those who did not come to this knowledge through their own understanding, witnessed and testified Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And those who heard this testimony and saw Jesus for who he really was, Jesus says, this is what believing is, down in verse 50. We as believers see Jesus for who he really is. We see him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, our sin. And this is our hope and joy for us and for those others who are following Jesus because of this testimony. In Christ alone do we find our guilt-free future. In Christ alone do we find the joy that we long for so much. And not only is Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world good news to us personally, it is good news to us collectively, corporately. It is here as a worshipping community, it is here as those worshipping the triune God and professing collective who confesses Christ as Lord, that God gives us meaningful relationships, which stems out, first of all, of our relationship with Him. A relationship with Him that was established anew and renewed by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Christ alone do we find meaningful relationships. John also records on numerous occasions that rather than explaining himself, Jesus simply used the words and invited, "Come and see." This morning, indeed, every time we gather for communion at worship service, listen anew to the words when we join in the Lamb of God. Right before, we are invited to come and see, to come and receive Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. As we gather with people in relationship founded on this reality, let's be encouraged towards hope and joy might become full in the true hope of our future, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.